We are live, and we are waiting for your Bible questions, so now's your chance to get in. Welcome, everyone. Today is February the 1st, 2015, and we are glad to be in your presence, or at least with in your ear and over your radio. We hope and pray that you will be able to participate in today's broadcast. If you have a question that you would like to call in, the lines are available, 308-9564. That is the voice line. If you'd rather text in your question, your Bible question right now, we can get that via your cell phone. If you would like to text that in, you can text it to 725-9283. Either way, we are looking forward to being of service to you as we go to the Bible for all the questions that you are asking right now. And we will go to the Bible for the answers as we let the Bible speak. We are thankful to be in your presence, and we hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. Throughout this broadcast, we're going to be telling you about a correspondence course, so stay tuned. About every 15 minutes, we're going to be able to tell you about this and give you more information over this free service that we are happy to share with you. We want to also give a shout out to all of you that attended our latest community meeting in Goose Creek on Friday and Saturday evening. We are thankful that you were able to join us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you were blessed by that and that you received information that you were looking for and the Bible materials that we gave out. We will periodically continue this process. And then also, we are trying to arrange one for the Mount Pleasant area as far as being mobile to other places. So stay tuned for them as well. And if you live in that area, we're going to be trying to arrange that one sometime between now and summertime. So please, if you know of a good place that we can actually meet, a small location, a meeting room of some kind, we would love for you to give us feedback on that, and we'll try to make those arrangements and be able to have a meeting there in your neighborhood as well. But thank you to all of you that came out Friday and Saturday night, and we had a good turnout, especially on Friday night. We are live right now, so if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line, and you can ask your question right now. And we will go to the Bible for the answer. If you have friends or relatives or people that you know that do not live in this local broadcast area, they can also tune in via the web through the internet. They can go to our website and click on the live stream button, which is the website is www.biblealone.com. Or if they would have a smartphone, they can download an app called TuneIn Radio and then find WJNI, and they can listen via the smartphone anywhere in the world as well. So if you have friends or relatives that are overseas or in other parts of the world, go ahead and communicate with them and tell them to tune in during the next hour and a half. We are going to be able to be of your service to answer your questions, and we are happy to be of service to you. Please communicate that with them, and let them know that it is area code 843 in case they want to participate with the voice line or the text line. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available right now. Many times they fill up before the end of the broadcast, so go ahead and jump in right now, and we will be glad to get your question answered on today's broadcast. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283.
308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, and we truly hope that you are able to join us today in the radio broadcast. You set the tone of the broadcast. You set the theme. You set the topic. You are the one that decides all that. That is the reason why this show is live and not recorded, because we want the show to be interactive, and we want you to take part in it. Because we're only here, we're not here trying to boost ourselves up and to take any kind of focus upon us. We just purely want to help you. Yeah, you listening to this broadcast. Yes, you. We want to help you get to heaven and to learn more about God's word and how he speaks to us through his word and what he would have us to do in order to show ourselves pleasing to him. That is the reason why this show is live. That's why we are here. That's why we never ask for any kind of financial help. We are blessed that the Lord allows us to be able to take care of the means to put on this broadcast just so we can make ourselves available to you. And we want you to participate. So please don't hesitate. Go ahead and call if you got a question. 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. And we also have the text line available at 725-9283. 725-9283. And once again, mention our website, www.biblealone.com, where we also have many other Bible studies, materials, and other subjects and topics on our website. We have old broadcasts of the programs that you can listen to, as well as you can sign up for a Bible correspondence course and just many other things. But mainly free, everything that we offer to you is completely free. We never ask for any kind of contribution. And once again, like we mentioned, we just want to help you in order to grow in your walk with the Lord. If we look at Acts chapter 17, we want us all to be like those that were described, those people there in Berea, when the apostles were going around traveling and spreading the gospel, just like Jesus told them to do before he was ascended into heaven. He told them to go out and preach the gospel to all the world. And when those apostles got to Berea, which was a little after a situation in Thessalonica, they ran into some people. And listen to how the word describes these Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they had arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Ricky, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good description of how it looks like to be able to want to learn more about God. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. When you consider the way the early Christians behaved, there many thousands were in Jerusalem there on the day of Pentecost. They'd come from all over the world to be able to worship God according to the law of Moses, the day of Pentecost. It was required of every man on the face of the earth that was a Jew, that was following God according to the law of Moses, to go to Jerusalem. It was required for them to be in attendance. And so they came together there, and instead of just keeping Pentecost, they heard about the Messiah. And thus, there were 3,000 that very first day that obeyed the gospel. They became children of God. They heard the word of God. They were told to repent, that is, turn their life now over to the way of Christ. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And about 3,000 that day were obedient. That's, you can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through verse 41. And in verse 47, it says the Lord himself added them to the church. And so that's the church that we should want to be part of. And that's the kind of people that we should want to be part with. In John chapter 17, when Jesus, right before going through all of the crucifixion and torment that he went through, he prayed this magnificent prayer in John chapter 17. He prays for himself in the first few verses, then for the 12 whom he had chosen and appointed, up through verse 19, and then beginning with verse 20, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but for all, also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me." And so there he says that his desire for his people is for every one of them to be one, just as he and the Father are one. And the result, the fruit of that is the world may believe that you've sent me, that God had sent his son. And then at the end of verse 23, he also adds that the world may believe that you have loved them as you have loved me. So as God so loved Jesus, God so loves us. Now, how is the world supposed to see that? Well, they can only see it if we are one with Christ, with one another, to where that as Jesus and Christ or the Jesus and the Father are one, that we're one with them, and that will send that message. Now, ladies and gentlemen, does that describe the practices that you have become accustomed to? Are there different things being taught, different doctrines, different disciplines, different rules and regulations that man has come up with? Or are we totally devoted with the same mind and same judgment to following just what Christ said? Well, we can see that this is very dangerous if we come up with anything different, because Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema, annihilated. That's what God wants to happen if we come up with something different. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are committed to following just what the Word of God says, and we hope you are too. And go ahead and call in your question right now. You can set the topic, you can set the theme, but God is going to give the answers. There's the phone number to call, 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line, or the text line, if you'd rather text in your question, 725-9283. We're going to our first break. Go ahead and call even while we're at break, 308-9564.
We are back live, and once again, we just want to continue to stress to you how much we want to hear from you. We want to know your questions. We want to know what is on your heart and on your mind as far as things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, God promised us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we can know those things. And once again, like we pointed out earlier, being like those Bereans that we saw in Acts chapter 17, who searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So when you hear something concerning godliness and what God would have you to do and how he would have you to live, you should accept it only if you can be able to go into his word and find it yourself. And if you can't go into his word and find it yourself, that should be a huge red flag to you that maybe, no maybe about it. If it's not in God's word, you should not be following it, because God, like his word said, he has promised us, he has given to us all things. So if we have all things that pertain into life and godliness, what more do we need? Once again, that was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He there is where the promise is contained. He's shown us that. He's told us that. So we can hold fast to that, and we can know that. And that's why we are here trying to help you so much. So please, we continue to encourage you to not wait, but to take part in this broadcast. Maybe it's something that's happened in your worship service or a practice that the place where you partake in worship is doing certain things, and you want to know, hey, does the Bible actually say we should be doing this? Or maybe the Bible says we shouldn't be doing this, or maybe there's a question like that on your heart or on your mind that you want to find out. Maybe a situation has happened in your life recently where you really need help getting through this, and you want to know how God can help you get through it. Well, his word is going to be able to show you that. And so that's why we're here. Please take advantage of the opportunity. The phone number to dial in and call is 308-9564, 308-9564, or we have the text line available. You can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have Robert calling in this question. Robert, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. His question is a little open-ended, so I'll have to answer it in two ways. Robert, I have to go two different directions. Your question is it true a person has sex, are they going to hell? Well, first of all, let's answer it from a married standpoint, and that is God's definition of marriage is when two people, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, have been married together, and God has joined them together. There's three groups of people today that can be married: those that have never been married, those that have been divorce for the motive, the reason of fornication, Matthew 19:9, and those whose spouse or first spouse has died, they are no longer alive. Those are the only three individuals that are allowed to marry that God would join together. So when two people are joined together for that reason, it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 3, it says, actually verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So that's Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 elaborates on that a little bit more when he says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the good news in this passage is that we don't have to continue doing those things because verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you have been washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So just because we may have been practicing those things does not mean that we have to continue practicing those things. We can become a child of God, put away those things. That's what repentance means, to turn around, turn away from sin, and walk righteousness according to God's will, and we can be washed, sanctified, and justified. Thank you, Robert, so much. We sure appreciate your question very much, and we hope and pray that that will be beneficial to you. Again, that was Hebrews 13, 4. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And so thank you so much for your question. Ladies and gentlemen, you're the one that sets the theme for this program, so go ahead and call in your question right now to 308-9564. Did you know you can go live on the air if you'd rather? You can, as you call, just say, I would like to ask my question live, and we'll put you on hold and then push all the buttons needed, and we'll get you live on the air. And so don't hesitate. If you'd like to ask your question live, you can do so. The only thing that we ask is you be ready to give us your, make certain that we know your name, and be ready to turn your phone or your radio down so there will not be a distracting echo. Okay, the number is 308-9564, or the text line is?
725-9283, 725-9283. You can text in your questions. Once again, just continuing to stress how we want to hear from you. This show is only on because of you, and that's once again why we have the show live. It is live, so you can call in, ask your question, and receive an answer. It is not pre-recorded. This is absolutely live. It is February the 1st, first day of the month. It's 1:52 p.m. So we are absolutely live, ready, willing, and waiting for your questions that are on your mind and on your heart. And we appreciate so much your attentiveness. And once again, we just appreciate all those who came out to the community meeting where we were teaching the gospel Friday and Saturday. And we appreciate so much. And our thoughts and our prayers are with you, that you will continue to grow in your walks with the Lord. And so we are overjoyed to be able to share with you in that. And so we like to make mention of those who came out, and just to thank once again and to encourage all of you others who may be listening that received invitations, whether it was a personal invitation through someone, or maybe you received the phone message that was sent out. So maybe you can make provisions to where the next time you can, you know, keep yourself readily available to that. And so we would appreciate that. We love to be able to get in contact with you. And so that's why we keep the radio airwaves open, and we have the phone lines available. Both lines are available right now. You can just go ahead and call in your questions. We are waiting. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Go ahead and call. Don't wait until the end of the broadcast. Far too often, many of you who are consistent listeners know that towards the end of the broadcast, the phone lines start to pile up and we have to start rushing, and you may not get as in-depth answer that you would like, and we might have to, you know, continue to go straight on to the next question. So go ahead, take advantage right now while both lines are open and available. 308-9564.
And we have Patrice calling in this question. First of all, thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in your question. We hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. Their question is, do we need a priest today? That is, to stand in place between God and man, like in the Old Testament. Well, that is a really good question. You know, that I don't think we've ever actually been asked that question like that. And so, well, thank you so very much, because this is a very important important question and important information here. So I would direct you to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll pick up with verse 14, where it talks about a priest that is between us, and we'll see a little bit about him. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Chapter 5 continues with that, when he talks about the contrast between the Old Testament priesthood versus Christ. And then in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5 says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" And it is in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus is that one between us. He is the mediator. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So to answer your question, yes, there is a need for us to have a mediator between us and the Father. Now, what you might not have thought about is it is Jesus that is that mediator. He is the one. And oh, do we need him bad? Because not only is he our mediator, he is our sacrifice, he is our Savior. And so he is very much needed. Now, if you're talking about other priests today, no, there are not supposed to be other priests, man priests today, that go between us and God. That is, there's only one mediator, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. So what about priests today? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 calls Christians priests. Matter of fact, we are royal priests, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. So there are priests, but we do not stand between man and God. Only Jesus does that. Thank you so much, Patrice. We sure do appreciate that very much, and hope and pray that was a blessing to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That is the voice line. You can have the question written down like these, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know, while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The lines are available, so don't miss out on this. Know this, that we're about to tell you about this correspondence course. It is free, and you will be blessed from this even many-fold more than you are from this program. So if you like this program, you're going to be blessed more from your own personal study of God's Word. So don't miss out on this. Get the course in the mail to you even this week. You can study it anytime you want to, 24/7. It is your choice. It is your schedule. And you can study it anytime or as fast or slow as you want. It is when it's right for you, so that you can concentrate the most. And we'll be glad to send that to you absolutely free. Here's the details on it. Now, while we are at break, go ahead and continue to call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back live now, and we hope and pray that you are having a blessing as we go to the Bible for the answers, the questions that are on your mind. God is the one that gives the answers, because we're going directly to His Word. You are the one setting the theme and the topic, and we will go to the Bible for all these questions that you are asking. Now, the lines are available. Yes, both lines are available. If you want to get in and get your question, now's the chance to jump in. 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Let's go ahead and get to the next question. Chuck, you have that?
Yeah, we have Linda calling in this question. Linda, we appreciate you so much listening to the broadcast, and thank you very much for calling in your question. Linda's question says, when we fast, are we supposed to fast like Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights? Well, Linda, that's a good question. Do not believe, as we look through the rest of the scriptures of the New Testament that Christ expects us to live by, we don't see a specific time frame for fasting. We just do not see that. I'm very aware of how filled the Old Testament is with a bunch of fasting examples, but we do not live under the Old Testament. We live under the New Testament, and so we don't see specific time frame for fasting. We just do not see that, and Jesus does not specify that we need to fast like he did. However, in Matthew 6 and verse 16, he does mention that we are supposed to be fasting. Fasting is most definitely supposed to be a part of our relationship with him in the New Testament. And we can see that very clearly in Matthew 6, verse 16, because in verse 16, it says, here's Christ talking. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. And he goes on, verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so you do not appear to men to be fasting. So multiple times we see him use the word specifically when. He says, when you fast, when you fast. And so we see just by those verses there, it is very specific that he expects fasting to be a part of our relationship with him. However, he does not give a specific time frame. There's also, we see an example of Paul. Paul mentioned that he fasted. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 27. And we know that Paul, some of the things that the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to make mention of was to follow in his example. And that was in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, and also in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Where we were shown that we can follow in the example of Paul. And so we have an example of knowing that he fasted. We see an example of knowing that Jesus fasted. And we also see the command that Jesus told us to fast. So that's Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. And we see those there. But thank you so much, Linda, for calling in your question. We really, really appreciate it. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564, or the text line is available at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We are glad to be able to be in service to you, and we hope and pray that you are getting much from this. We hope you have an open Bible and paper and pencil ready to answer all or to write down the answers as we go to these questions. Again, the number for the voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We have a text question from the last four digits of 7448. Their question is, I divorced my husband for committing adultery, and now my ex-husband is married. Because she married him, does that make her his new wife and adulteress? There's the first question. Also, I can get married since my husband cheated on me, but I was told whenever my husband dies, and so she would have to wait till he dies is what she's been told. Well, then I could marry after that. What does the Bible say? Well, I can see why you would be confused, because when we start listening to man, you're going to find out there's everything under the sun that is told. But the last statement that you made there, last question, is to be commended. You wanted to know, what does the Bible say? What does God say? And so that is the right question to ask, because God does not give confusion. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So I would like you to know that you're going to be given peace from God and his word. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 4, Jesus was asked this same question in verse 3. And so here's his answer. He says, "Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man separate.'" I mean, that sounds familiar. Yeah, it's put into many marriage ceremonies. "Well, now these people responded by saying this. They said to him, 'Why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away?' And here's Jesus' answer. He said, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so.'" And then verse 9 is where you'll find your answer. It says, here's Jesus talking. He says, "I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So now we can see there that your answer is clear. If you're wondering about the gender in Mark, the gender swaps. That's Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. So it's not gender specific. And you'll also notice that I skipped a phrase in that verse. That phrase was, "except for sexual immorality," or "except for fornication." So that rule is true, except for sexual immorality. That is the only time when someone is permitted to remarry when they had a living ex-mate. And so that is, you were exactly right in your conclusion based upon this passage. And also, those people that say that you would be free to marry again when your mate or ex-mate dies, well, that's true as well, but you've also got this exception in this passage. Romans chapter 7, verses 3, 4, and 5 address the idea of a mate dying. And so, yes, that frees one to marry again. So both of those answers are true, and you are asking the right question, especially when you say, "What does the Bible say?" Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate you taking out the time, texting us this question, and we hope that will be helpful to you. Again, that's Matthew 19, verses 3 through, going through verse 12, and notice how important God places that. And then also, Romans chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564. We might have lost a caller a few minutes ago. If that is the case, now both lines are available. You can call back and get through. 308-9564. That is the number, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak. Chuck?
We have Antonio calling in this question, and their question says, "If a person is in an abusive relationship, can they be divorced from the other spouse?" Well, the scriptures do not show that is an acceptable reason to get a divorce. Well, as Ricky mentioned out earlier, what God's word shows that the only provision where God allows divorce is sexual immorality. Now, you may say, "But wait a minute, being in an abusive relationship, you can't be telling people to stay in that." Well, I'm not telling that. We are simply pointing out only what God's word says, which is the reason why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. And what I can tell you, what we can show you in God's word, is how the marriage is supposed to be in the first place. So caller, if this is actual situation that you know of, that someone's going through, well, Ephesians chapter 5 shows the responsibilities of the husband and the wife. There's just a couple of examples here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. So the first thing we should be able to look at in this situation, in any situation, is the marriage is supposed to look a certain way. It is set up by God to look a certain way. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 is a great example of it. Then there's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, that just talk about love and how we each should be showing love to one another. And of course, if this person is in a relationship that is abusive, whether it's emotionally, mentally, or physically, being abusive is just not godly. And so if someone's going through that, I can only assume that the person doing the abuse is a non-Christian or is not trying to follow Christ. So the first thing you should be trying to do is help that person to commit their life to Christ. That's probably the first thing that needs to happen. And if not, then 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about an unbeliever and a believer being joined together and how that situation would work out. And if the unbeliever want to depart, then let them depart in verse 15. But it does not give provision for divorce. It does not allow divorce. It talks about the need to be reconciled together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that entire chapter deals with it. But we must let God's word speak and just let it mean what it means, despite our emotions, our feelings, our experiences. Because at the end of the day, God's word is what we will be judged by. John 12:48, Christ said, the words which I have spoken to him will judge in the last day. So, Tony, I hope that's been helpful to you. Once again, that's Ephesians 5:22-33, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. It is time for us to take our next break. Even while we are at break, we will be accepting your questions. Please go ahead and call, take advantage of the Bible correspondence course and sign up for that, please. Or if you would like to have a study with us and meet us, and we can have a Let the Bible Speak in your home together. We let that be known when you leave your message on the machine there at the Dollar Bible Study, the 553-5157 number. So that's available to you as well. But to reach us here at the station right now, go ahead and call so you can join the program. 308-9564. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we continue to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. Do not wait to the end of the broadcast. Do not wait to the end of the broadcast. Go ahead and call in your questions right now. 308-9564. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak.
We are glad to be able to be in your presence. We hope and pray that this is being a blessing to you. You're to be commended for your desire to want to know what God says. And we are happy to be of service to you. Our questions are piling up, but keep them coming. We will do our best to get through all of these as we continue through the broadcast today. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, and you can call in your question and even go live if you want to. Again, 308-9564, or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. We have Katie calling in this question. She wants to know, what is the Urim and Thummim in Exodus? And it's actually in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 29, 30, 31, right in there. And let me just read the verse to you. It says, and you shall put on this is the high priest, you shall put on the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over the heart before the Lord continually. And so there we can see a mechanism as far as we have no idea what it looked like or how it worked as far as that was some way that God used that they were able to use for God to give the answers to be able to find out what was right and what was wrong as far as legal cases, as far as situations. One that comes to mind was when the children of Israel went in and destroyed Jericho. There was one man, let's see, what was his name, that took some of the resources from Achan. Achan, he took some of the resources from Jericho. And God held all Israel accountable. And so there, through a process of elimination, and I would assume it was the Urim and Thummim that they used to make these decisions, and they boiled it all the way down to Achan, and he was found guilty, and he admitted it once it got down to him. And so so it was a way for them to make judgments. And we don't know exactly what they looked like or how they used them. It was just somehow done through a process of elimination. Katie's second question is, they say that Miriam, Moses' sister, was a prophetess. And that's exactly right. She was. She prophesied in Exodus chapter 15. And we can see that in verse 20 when it describes her even as a prophet. It says, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the tremble in her hand and went out with the others and did dance of victory. And so there, yes, she was a prophetess. And so God spoke through her during that time as well. But Moses, when she challenged Moses later on, because of his leadership, she was ended up becoming not only a prophetess, but she was became a leper as well. And so she got in trouble during that time. So, yes, she was a prophetess. Now, your second part is, was she married to a prophet? There is no information about that whatsoever. We have no inclination, no information at all. So there's no way to answer that. Thank you, Katie, so much for your question. You're to be commended because you wanted to know what the Bible said. And that is the truth that will never be taken away from you because it has been around for thousands of years and it's not about to disappear yet. So we better know the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll be that truth that will set us free. Set us free from sin, set us free from darkness, set us free from the devil, set us free from being lost. And that's where we want to go, isn't it? And so that's why it's so important to let the Bible speak here and now as we let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are open right now. Go ahead and call in your question, and we will get to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak.
Chuck. We have Blanche calling in this question. Blanche, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Thank you, Blanche. Branch's question says, how is there in God's house, the church, people who don't show love? That's a good question. And it's actually one of those questions that doesn't really make any sense in terms of what's happening and the reason why you must even ask that question in the first place. But nevertheless, we are shown that that's kind of what's going to happen. We see an example of this in Revelation chapter 2. If you are unfamiliar with Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the angel of the Lord wrote letters to the seven churches in Asia. And to the church of Smyrna, and starting in verse 8, he wrote, church of Pergamos in verse 12 is where this starts, where it says to the angel of the church in to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13, I know your works. He says that to every church. He says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of which Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So twice in one verse, the angel of the Lord writes to the church in Pergamos that Satan dwells among you, or Satan sits among you. Other translations say Satan sits among you. So even in the church, even among godly people, there will be some negativity, some people that don't show love, but that should not be the majority of what's going on. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, we see an example of how we should be, where it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That's the way we're supposed to be as brothers and sisters in Christ, as our church family. We should be a real family. Well, real families, they have arguments and problems as well, but we continue to love one another. We don't let those things become points of dissension to where we break apart and not want to have anything to do with one another. When there are people who are in the church not showing love to one another, well, we should be able to point out God's word to them and show them, brother or sister, God wants us to love each other better. And so there are so many verses that we can point out here. There's Romans 12 that talks about not being overcome with evil, but overcome with good. And then there's, like we mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That's talking about love, how we all should be. That's not only in the marriage setting. That context does not talk about just marriage. It just talks about love in general. And so we can apply that to ourselves. And then we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, the purpose of the commandments is love. from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So the very purpose of God giving us all these commandments is love. What kind of love? Love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So we're supposed to be trying to show one another love as much as possible. You can't be a Christian and not show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John chapter 4 specifically points out that if we say we love God, in chapter 4 and verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So that should be an admonition for us. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Blanche. Once again, it's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That's 1 John chapter 4. You can look at that whole chapter, but specifically verses 17 through 21. And there's so much more. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Blanche. 308-9564 to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, or you can text us at 725-9283. We want to encourage you to, if you've never received our correspondence course, to take this opportunity to enroll and get this in the mail to you right away. It will come during this week, and you can take that and study it and then fill it out and send it back to us. We'll grade it along with the next lessons. We'll send it back to you, and thus it's back and forth till you finish the first course. And then we have many other courses of study after that, and all of them are free, by the way. We have had some people taken as many as over 20 different courses of study in God's Word. So don't miss out on this. We are glad to be able to be of service and to help you to grow in your relationship with God and in your walk toward heaven. You may discover vital truths. Matter of fact, I would be willing to even say you will discover vital truths that you may have never seen before, which many of these things might prevent you from your heavenly home one day. So rather than having question marks in your walk with God as to whether you are on the right path or not, or listening to the right source of information, why not just go ahead and investigate this and study it for yourselves? Go ahead and call right now. The number to enroll in that course is 553-5157. That's 553-5157, and we will be glad to get this course on the way to you right away. And so don't miss out on this. We just noticed we missed a call. If you will call back, now the line is available, and you can get your question in. 308-9564 is the line to call in your question. But now to get the correspondence course to you, that's where we want you to call if you're wanting this course. By the way, most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth because they must remain within the denominational box or doctrine that defines them. It's so important that we don't remain there. We've got to find the whole truth. Our courts of law work on that process. They swear people in saying, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And so at least in a word, they say that they're going to do that. Why not churches? Why not all churches to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, it's about time that we go to the book that they swear on, and that is God's Word, and find the whole truth. So don't miss out on getting this. It will be a step in the right direction for you to be able to learn and search the Scriptures to find whether those things are so. Let us give you that information. Let us send that course to you in the mail today. Absolutely free. Don't miss out on this. It is free. You have nothing to lose but darkness, but being lost, but hell itself. And we don't want to go there, do we? So let's find the truth. What does God expect of us here and now? And let's embrace it with our whole heart. Again, go ahead and call this. Here's the information on it. If you have questions, call the radio station here, and we will go to the Bible for your questions. 308-9564, and we'll find the answers right in God's Word. We'll be right back.
We are live. We got just under 30 minutes left in the broadcast. You have up until, well, we're on the air up until about 2:58 or so. So please go ahead, take advantage and call in your questions right now. Don't wait. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Pick up the phone and call. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Right?
Yes, we are live now. And you can also text us if you'd rather, 725-9283. That is the text line. We have this Stephen calling in. Thank you, Stephen, for calling, and thank you for your desire to want to know what the Bible says. You will find your answer, if you can be turning there, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. His question is, the Bible says that when we ought against our brother, are we supposed to go to God first, then to the brother? Well, certainly we should be praying about everything. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, 6, 7. And so, yes, we should be praying about everything, and especially about a brother's sin. But what are we supposed to do when we get up off of our knees? Well, Matthew chapter 18 says, "Assuredly I say unto you, whosoever," well, let me get to the right place. That's verses 15 through 17. I apologize. Matthew 18, 15 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go to him, go tell him his fault between you and him alone." You don't tell the church, you don't tell your parents, you don't tell other people, you tell it between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. So there's the process that God gives that we should do just like that. So one-on-one, then take two or three, and then bring it before the church, and then they're supposed to be no longer socially or considered one of your brethren. A second question here in my time here. Let me work on this. Genesis chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, it talks about the sons of God, and yes, it does. It says, were they angels, or are those angels? Well, they very well may have been. We don't know. Some people think that they were just some of the more righteous ones. It doesn't fit in the context of that passage. And in particular, that phrase, as it's used there in Genesis, the sons of God, is only used one other place, and that is in Job chapter 1, where the sons of God came up before God, and the devil was even among them as they were talking about Job. And so that's why most people consider that they very well may have been angels there in Genesis chapter 6. And so, Kim, I hope that's helpful to you. We sure do appreciate that very much. And we hope and pray that you have been blessed and the program has been a blessing to you. Thank you for being a blessing to us and calling in your question this way. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck, I bet there's another question on marriage, isn't there?
There sure is. Okay. I got two I'm going to combine. We got a call-in question by the name of John. John, thank you so much for calling your question. And he says, is the guilty party who commits adultery free to marry again? And I will combine answers with his other question, his text question. The text question says, what does the Bible say about remarriage to the same spouse after you've been divorced for 22 years? And so the answer to both questions is going to be in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, where Jesus himself says specifically what he expects and what he allows out of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He says that the only provision that is given, the only way he would allow a divorce, is for sexual immorality. And so we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and specifically verse 11 is the verse where we can answer both questions. Verse 11 says, but even if, well, starting verse 10, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So here's what the Lord commands. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. So the text question that asks about being remarried to the same spouse, absolutely, that's what God wants. He says either remain unmarried or be reconciled. And First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. So texter, yes, absolutely, God wants you to be reconciled to your spouse. And to the person who asked about the committing adultery, is the person who commits adultery free to marry again? Well, no, the same verse would apply. If you're going to be divorced, you either remain unmarried or you reconcile to your spouse. You don't get to get a new spouse. And so we see that there. Once again, we saw that same answer for both questions. It's going to be Matthew chapter 19, 3 through 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, specifically verse 11. But of course, you can read that whole context. That whole chapter is going to be talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, we have Irvin wanting to know this question. Irvin, thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. His question is, when did the New Testament get started? The New Covenant, I would take it that's what you mean. The New Covenant, and when did it go into effect? Well, and when Jesus was on the cross, and you'll find that answer in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, having taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, over them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding festival or new moons or Sabbaths, which are the shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. You might also want to look, that was Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17. Read also Galatians 3, verses 23 through, well, actually, the next two chapters, chapter 4 and also into chapter 5. Let me quote verse 4, for example. It says, Christ has become of no effect of you. Whosoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? So it went to into effect when Jesus died on the cross and the church began, as when he became set on his throne and is ruling over his kingdom. That's described there in that sermon in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus is sitting on the throne of David. And so thank you, Irvin. I sure do appreciate that very much. And thank you for listening, and thank you for your question. Keep the questions coming. We're getting close to our next break, but I think we can squeeze in another question or two.
Right. We got another text question that says, after we are saved and have accepted Jesus as our Savior, do we have to repent from sins? Well, texter, I want to kind of clarify what your understanding may be on this. So when we look at Acts chapter 2, we see Peter, he was preaching a sermon there on the day of Pentecost to these people. And when he closes towards the end of the sermon, he says, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, we see the response of the people. It says, now, when they heard this, the people who listened, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38 is your answer. He says, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, he talks about this this promise. And then verse 40, Peter says to them, be saved from this perverse generation. And now, texter, let me ask you a question. When Peter says to them in verse 40, be saved from this perverse generation, is that because they're already saved or they need to be saved? Yeah, I agree. It's because they need to be saved. He wouldn't tell them be saved if they're already saved. So in verse 38, he told the people, repent and let every one of you be baptized. So he says, repent and be baptized. And then he says in verse 40, be saved from this perverse generation. So after he had told them to repent and be baptized, apparently they still weren't saved, because he wouldn't have told them that in verse 40 if they were already saved. And then verse 41, it says, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. Well, added to what? Added to what? What are you talking about? Added to what? Verse 41. Well, we come down to verse 47, the ending part, the second part of verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There's your answer. There's your answer. The Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. And that happens after someone is repents, repents from the old sin, repents from the old lifestyle, and is baptized. And so we see that once again, that's Acts chapter 2, verses starting 36 through really 36 through 47 is where that is. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We are heading into our last break. We got some questions piled up. We will get to them. We will go ahead and take this break, and we will get back to you in this last segment. It's going to be pretty filled with questions.
Now, as we go to the break, we want you to be aware of we're offering you a Bible correspondence course today that is absolutely free. And you can study things for yourself in God's Word, and it will build faith because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So why not have your own faith? Don't take our word for it. Don't take the preacher's word for it. Don't take mom and dad's word for it. No one's word for it. See it for yourself, because that's the faith that will never disappoint you. Study these things for yourself. Remove the blinders that the wicked one, however he has done it in this world, has put us on a path that may not be that straight and narrow path leading to heaven. See the truth for yourself. Why not take this course? It is free. You have nothing to lose. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, and get that course in the mail to you, and you will be blessed. Here's more information on that. While we are at break, continue your questions. The voice line is 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that the correspondence course is free. It'll be in this week's mail, so don't miss out on getting that. And you'll be blessed much by getting your own heart focused into God's Word and be able to see those things for yourself. And sometimes people may not read as fast as others, and so you can just take your time and study it as slow or fast as you want, and you'll be able to receive those blessings directly from your Bible. So get this in the mail to you, 553-5157. That's how to get the Bible Correspondence Course. Just leave your name and address, and we'll get it in the mail to you, 553-5157. Now, this is a live broadcast. We're going to try to get to all these questions, so we're going to speed up a little bit, 308-9564. If you want more questions to be answered, call right now, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We have a text question asking, does God's Word command victims to stay in a dangerous marriage while trying to convert their spouses? No, it doesn't. God's Word does not talk about abusive marriages. It talks about only how marriages should be in response to how God expects that to be. So it does not say that. We can only go by, once again, Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That's all we can go by. And 1 Corinthians, specifically maybe verse 13, 1 Corinthians would help you out also. And so we also got other questions on marriage asking. We see this other question Tim calls in asking, if there was a sexual sin in the marriage and the parties are still married, do they need to divorce? Well, no, they don't need to get divorced. God's Word doesn't necessarily show that. As a matter of fact, we see the character of God, and we know that God hates divorce, and we'll look up that passage specifically that says that God hates divorce. And so they don't need to get divorced. They don't have to. That's just the only provision where he would allow it and not see it as sin. Ricky?
Yeah, it was just pointed out to me as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13, where it says that it's an option. She does not have to stay in that dangerous situation. It would be an act of mercy if you chose to leave, but that does not give you a reason to divorce just because of the abuse. And so it is an option that can be for your safety and the safety of your children, but that is not something where you have to stay and be beat to death. And I know there are people that say something like that. Mercy trumps other things, and so we want to make certain. But that does not give you freedom to marry again just because of that. And so that's 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. 11 through 13 will help you in that.
And that was Malachi 2:16, the verse I was looking at that says God hates divorce. And so, yeah, he hates it. He would rather those two to be reconciled or remain together. And another question real quick that, once again, the text question asking if the adulterous man or woman could be remarried. And 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11 would still apply. The person who commits adultery, they would either have to be unmarried, remain unmarried, or reconcile to their spouse. That's 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 11.
Okay, we have Isaac calling in this question. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you for the text question we just got from whoever you are, and we appreciate your desire to know the truth. Isaac's question is, the Old Testament had burnt offering altars, and you're exactly right. That was part of that worship. And then he wants to know, what is the altar called in the church today? Well, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10, in the context there, is talking about that we serve and we have an altar, but Jesus is the fulfillment of all those feasts and all of those things that were built into the Old Testament way of worship. In Hebrews 13, you can read about that in the last half of that chapter, but also Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, which says that now Christ, those things in the Old Testament were a shadow, but the substances of Christ is the fulfillment of all that. Thank you, Isaac, for your question. Again, that's Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14, and Hebrews 13, verse 10. We have Ben calling in this question, dealing with 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wants to know, why did he say not be ashamed? Well, that's a very good question. If we are not giving diligence toward our relationship with God, then we should be ashamed. It is a shame to God. It is a shame to us. And we are going to suffer if we do not give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God. Not only 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11 says giving all diligence and even adding more diligence to that in that passage. And so we've got to be diligent towards showing our relationship with God what it ought to be by loving Him, that is, doing what He says. Second question is, how can we put that into our life today? Well, I just mentioned 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. It gives several attributes there, several graces that will help us in that walk. And it says that he that does these things shall never fall. And so an abundant entrance will be given unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ben. We sure appreciate that. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will go to the Bible for the answer.
We got another text question asking if a divorced couple engages in sexual practices while they are divorced, is that adultery? Well, when we look at the sense of the word adultery, it's not adultery, but it's fornication, which fornication would be engaging in sexual practices with anyone who's not your spouse, while adultery is basically fornication while you're married. So either way it goes, if the spouses are divorced from one another, they should not be engaging in the sexual practice, because that would be under fornication. And so we see, like Ricky read a lot earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that talks about those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, fornicators and adulterers are both of those sins, those classes are in that one list. And so there's the separation between fornicators and adulterers. And so adultery being the sin of fornication while you're married. So if they're divorced and they engaged in that, well, then they would be guilty of fornication and not adultery, which is still something that God frowns upon. And we see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and 10, where it's something that will keep one out of the kingdom of God. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And once again, we just continue to stress Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. They will always say the same thing, and they will always mean the same thing. If people are to divorce, once again, 1 Corinthians 7, 11, they either remain unmarried or be reconciled to their spouse.
That's what's amazing is we live in a world where all of our laws are in flux. They can be changed over time. Just elect new people to change the laws. God's law is constant. It won't be changed. It will always say it, what it says. And that's what makes God's judgment one day just, because his law is not changed. His mind is not changed. And therefore, we've got to make certain that we follow what Jesus says, because Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And the next question is a text question. They want to know, the last four digits of their number is 4718. And they want to know, if grace covers all sin, is the unforgivable sin forgiven? Well, the caller is no doubt referring to the passages in Mark 3, verse 29, and Matthew 12, verse 37, where it says, all manner of sin, let's say, whoever I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto man. Well, okay, that's what it says, and we see that very clearly. So does that mean it won't be forgiven? Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember, Jesus was the next to the last messenger to come to us today. That is, he gave us this word. He has all authority. He went back to heaven to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came and guided the apostles and prophets into all truth. It was written down. We have it in his word. Now, if they ignored Jesus, and many had on the day of Pentecost, and probably there were some of those 3,000 that were baptized that day, and yet they became Christians. They did not ignore the next messenger, the Holy Spirit. If we ignore him, there's not another messenger coming. And thus, we've got to make certain that if we are going to make it to heaven, we better listen to his word. It is the final authority. There's not another one coming. There's not a change of law coming. We've got to stick with what his word says, because it will be that word we will be judged by. And so when you look at these verses, you look at the present active nature of the language there. Their language was a lot more specific than our language. And that is, an ongoing practice of ignoring what God says will not be forgiven. That's exactly right. No matter if it's against the Holy Spirit, which he's the last messenger, or any kind of sin, such as lying. I'm a perpetual liar. Well, you're not going to be forgiven. We have to repent, or we will perish, Luke 13:3 says. 1 John chapter 1 also says that if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so if we will just focus in on doing what God says, then he will forgive. But if we ignore it, we are in trouble. We have the final word. It is called the New Testament, and we better study, give diligence to show ourselves approved unto him. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you so much for tuning in and joining us today in our broadcast. We want you to know that you can continue to enroll in the Bible Correspondence course. It is absolutely free. Why not take off the blinders of the doctrine that we may have been brought up in, and let's get to the truth, the whole truth, that we may learn that vital truth that will prevent us from going to heaven one day if we do not listen to it. We've got to make certain that we find that and be able to apply it in our lives and be able to show ourselves approved unto him. And so you can study this anytime, day or night. And you'll probably get 10 times more out of studying through this course in the Bible by yourself than you will from any radio program, including ours, because that's what we're going to be judged by. That truth is the living Word of God that lives and abides forever. And so why not let's let that Word be put in our heart, make us, mold us, shape us as we respond to it, and we can be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Why not? Let us look into the Word and see what God says. Let us make certain that we find these things. And by the way, we've got just a few seconds left. Let me remind you of our website that you can go to and download information on several of the topics, including marriage, divorce, and remarriage, from BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com. And we are happy to be able to give these again to you free of charge. We'll never ask for money or a donation. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's develop a habit of going to God's Word to find the truth, the whole truth, on every subject that pertains to life and godliness. Let's let the Bible speak.